It's time for our weekly look at what made news in Wisconsin this week with WPR News Director Michael Leland.
Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be here.
Well, some big stories this week, a couple of them courtesy of the federal government. First of all, the Affordable Care Act, those health care exchanges are in place now.
Exactly. About 700,000 people in Wisconsin are expected to enroll in the new Affordable Care Act through these exchanges that are being set up by the federal government. That began on Tuesday, and that enrollment period is going to run through the end of March.
But
if you want coverage to begin on January 1st, you've got to enroll by December 15th.
Now, this is a big deal in Wisconsin. We heard very recently letters going out to a bunch of Wisconsinites saying, you're off Badger Care, start making plans.
Right. 92,000 people in Wisconsin who are on Badger Care now, that's the state's Medicaid program, they're being moved off because of changes in how the state sets requirements to be on it. In the past, Badger Care had covered adults who have kids who would have incomes up to 200% of the federal poverty level. That's been cut back to 100%, and those people in that middle range now who are on Badger Care will lose their coverage at the end of December. So they're the ones who are facing that December 15th deadline to get coverage through this new system beginning on January 1st.
And without having a lapse in coverage then.
Exactly.
So what have we been hearing about how opening day and opening week went?
Well, again, because these are the federal exchanges that people in Wisconsin are using because the state declined to set up its own exchanges, it's happening here in Wisconsin as it's happening around the country that are also using the federal system. The healthcare.gov website has been reported as being very slow. A lot of people have been going to that site saying that they are taking, you know, nearly forever to get on if they're able to sign on at all. And a lot of people, 7 million people tried to get on that site Tuesday and Wednesday, and the federal government says it's trying to come up with ways to expand the volume. But so far, it's been slow going through that federal exchange system.
One of our guests this week said a lot of the traffic was probably reporters going on there.
Could have been.
To check it out. Well, the other big federal story this week is the federal government shutdown, still rolling as of right now. How is that affecting us here in Wisconsin in particular?
Well, you know, it's, obviously far fewer federal workers here in Wisconsin than in many other states. But there are a lot of noticeable things, people like civilian workers for the National Guard, things like the Apostle Islands, the National Lakeshore. That's been closed down. There's no camping. There's no hiking. The tour boats that will take you out there are still operating, but they can only get to within about a quarter mile of the islands. I'm not sure what kind of enforcement is being done along with that, but a quarter mile is as close as they can get.
It's not the same as the camping trip some people might have been planning. Like, no. That's your campsite over there.
Right.
You can swim for it if you want. But
if you can make it, you can camp. No, that is not true.
Oh.
You can't camp on the islands for as long as the shutdown goes on. Mm-hmm. The Upper Mississippi Wildlife Refuge near Trempealeau is closed, and the federally run part of Horicon Marsh is closed. The state-run part is still open.
So that's a lot of the natural areas in the state. We talked yesterday a little bit about the impact on scientific research. What are we hearing here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, here at UW-Madison, the school gets about $500 million in federal research grants. And right now, there's nobody processing further grant applications or even available to answer questions. So any grant applications that are underway are kind of slowed by this. It's also tougher to get access to some types of data through the National Science Foundation and things like that. Also, where the UW has workers who are working on federal projects, they've been told by agencies like the National Institutes of Health or the National Park Service to stop working on some of these projects. And so right now the UW is in some cases trying to figure out what the employment status is of its workers who are assigned to work with these agencies.
Anything in particular you've seen that hasn't been affected that people might be interested in?
Yeah, if you are applying for financial aid with one of your college-bound children or you are awaiting payment for financial aid you've already been approved for, that is not being interrupted. The government says there's only a slight impact on the application process or the delivery of aid that's already been granted. So if you've gotten an award letter, the government says you will get your money.
Well, this is one we're going to be following for the minutes or months or some point in between that this shutdown goes on.
Well, unlike some, we don't have a countdown clock in the corner of our radio,
right.
But yeah, it's we're up to, what, 4 days and counting now.
Right. Well, here's one story that's still early kind of in the works, but it made a big splash this week. a change in the way public employees in Wisconsin get health care coverage. What's going on there?
Yeah, more than a quarter million state workers and their family members in Wisconsin currently get their health coverage through HMOs. It's a competitive HMO system. They, you know, offer prices in order to get, you know, to get people to sign up with them. The governor is exploring the idea of going to what's called a self-insured health coverage program. 20 states do this sort of thing already. A little bit of how it works, you know, a traditional HMO, the state pays premiums to the HMO, you pay part of it, and then the HMO pays for your health coverage. And then under a self-insured program, the state actually pays the actual cost of providing health care to its workers, and the state and workers do still set aside money. It's a lot like premiums to cover those costs.
What kind of numbers are being thrown around in the early stages here?
The state has commissioned a few studies to look into this, and they have found that the state could save anywhere from $20 million a year by switching to a self-insurance program, or could end up paying another $100 million. So it's sort of all over the map. Another study found that the state could save maybe 4 to 5% on its current insurance costs. That's about $1 billion a year. But it also found that in the current system, where the HMOs compete for state business, that saves about that much already.
And have we been here before? Have we had this model in place before in Wisconsin?
Yeah, about 30 years ago, Wisconsin had a self-insured model. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has reported this week that it spoke to the man who used to run that system for the state. And he said that he's not sure why they'd want to go back, because the state gave up on this self-insured model after costs jumped more than 20% 2 years in a row in the early 80s.
This is in the early stages, a lot more question marks than answers at this point. Where are we? What would a timeline look like?
Well, the governor had a conversation this week with insurance and health executives, and he says right now there's no proposal just yet. He's just collecting information to see what makes the most sense. There's going to be more talk about it next week when the group insurance board meets. That's the board that oversees the state insurance program. And the governor says it's possible that a decision on going ahead with this could be made by early next year, or it's possible that the state will stay with its current HMO system.
I know, again, there's a lot we don't know. I'm guessing public employees' unions may look at this with some suspicion based on their past interactions with the governor.
Yeah, already rumblings from some that this is just, you know, another swing at state workers by the governor. The governor says he's just looking for the best bargain for taxpayers and state workers. So, you know, we'll see where this goes.
All right. Another one we've been watching. We talked to Patty Murray a little while back about this bridge in Green Bay sagging.
Yes.
What's the latest on that?
the Leo Frigo Bridge. That's the bridge that carries I-43 across Green Bay and the Fox River in downtown Green Bay. It's been closed for about a week and a half since one of the piers that's actually on the land side of the bridge sank. It sank into the ground about 2 feet, causing a sag in the roadway, and the state shut that bridge down. This week, the state has done some investigating and says that it appears that this sag was caused by corrosion in a steel piling under the bridge. Now, just to tell you how these bridges are, you know, this is my oversimplified way of explaining how these bridges are built. You know, you can see the concrete piers that hold up the roadway. They sink about 10 feet into the ground, but they're sitting on top of steel pilings that are driven about 100 feet into the ground.
Wow.
So you put the pilings in, you build the bridge on top of it, and what's happening is that those that one piling where the sag has happened has been corroding. The state says it may be a combination of foundry sand and organic material that's in the fill that was used to create the bed to put the bridge on, along with a change in the water table over the 30 years or so that bridge has been built. They think that's what may have caused the corrosion, but they did some looking around. They said it appears to be isolated in that general area and that the bridge is not in any danger of collapsing.
Well, that's some good news. I mean, I think when people hear about bridge problems, they think about that horrible collapse over in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, sure.
Yeah, so that's not about to happen. But this doesn't sound cheap and easy.
No, it is not going to be cheap. It's not going to be easy. The state is saying this bridge is likely to be closed through the winter. There'll be a lot more checking of it to see just, you know, what needs to be done to restore it. One bit of good news we got today from the federal government, it's approved emergency money for repairs. It'll pay 100% of repair costs for the next 6 months and then 90% after that. And that'll be important because early estimates, and it could grow a lot higher, early estimates for fixing fixing that bridge are coming in at about $50 million so far. Yeah.
Wow. And how big an impact is this on Green Bay and, I guess, looking forward, the Packer home game?
Well, I mean, just in getting around Green Bay, you know, Patty has told you and us that, you know, it's taking her longer to get to work because she lives on one side of the river and her office is on the other. Yeah, Sunday is the first Packers home game since the bridge was closed, and the state and the team are saying that if you're heading to the game, leave earlier than usual, because even if you're not planning to take that bridge, you know, the 30,000 or so cars a day on a Sunday that would ordinarily be on the bridge are not going to be on it. They've got to go somewhere else. So they'll be keeping you company on the road up to the stadium. So they are suggesting that you get out there earlier than usual. There'll be extra state patrols and Wisconsin Department of Transportation workers to kind of, you know, keep things moving. But, you know, I think they're not sure yet what it's going to look like on Sunday. But, you know, if you've got tickets to the game, you would do well to leave a bit early.
And what's the early timeline on bridge repair for it being reopened?
They don't have a definite time when it could be repaired, but they're saying that it is likely to be closed into next year at the least. It's really going to depend on what needs to be done to fix it.
All right. Well, a lot to talk about. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Happy to be here.
Catching up on the news of the week with Wisconsin Public Radio News Director Michael Leland.
Coming up, we'll talk with education Diane Ravitch. Her new book is Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement and the Danger to America's Public Schools. We've done some coverage of schools lately. We had Ron Paul talking about his new book, movie director M. Night Shyamalan talking about his cures for education, and now education writer, former Undersecretary of Education Diane Ravitch will join us. She's warning of the movement toward vouchers, toward more testing, and other things in public education.
Going to be taking a break now for news from National Public Radio and catching up on news from Wisconsin Public Radio as well. You're listening to Central Time here on Wisconsin Public Radio.